Hey everyone, welcome back for another deep dive. Today we're going to be looking at insect populations. And you know, there's some research here that you're going to hear about that really kind of like, I don't know, I think challenges the usual story you hear about this.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, we always hear about insect decline, which, you know, it's a big deal. But like this research, I think, shows that there's more to the story.
For sure. So we're diving into this paper. It's a scientific paper, and they were looking at moth populations in Sweden. And get this, this study went on for 5 decades. 5 decades. That's a long time. It wasn't just like a weekend thing for these researchers.
It's definitely not no weekend project.
Yeah, they were really dedicated to learning about moths, which, you know, I think a lot of people maybe don't think about that often.
Yeah, moths don't always get the, you know,
the limelight.
Yeah, they're really important though. You know, they're important for the ecosystem, for pollinating.
Yeah,
and they're like food for a bunch of different animals, birds and bats and things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like they're the unsung heroes, kind of, you know? And so if you study them for that long, you can learn a lot about, I don't know, about how healthy things are in an ecosystem, right?
Exactly, yeah. And this particular study, it was done in central Sweden, and it's kind of a mix of like boreal and nemoral forests.
Boreal, nemoral. For those of us who, you know, maybe didn't take forest in college, what exactly are we talking about?
Okay, so boreal, think like colder, you know, those forests with like the pine trees and stuff, often like snowy.
Okay.
And then nemoral, that's more like, think deciduous trees, like the ones that lose their leaves in the fall, you know, kind of a milder climate.
Gotcha. So central Sweden's like this in-between zone.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and that makes it really interesting to study because it means it's probably going to be affected by any changes in the environment more than other places.
And wow, did they find some interesting stuff. So get this, they found more moths in 2019 than they did back in the 70s. Can you believe that? More moths. It really makes you wonder about all those headlines about insect decline, you know?
It really does, yeah. It really kind of flips the script because, you know, we see a lot of studies, especially from other parts of the world, that show numbers going down. So this was, you know, a really unexpected finding. So I bet you're wondering how do you track moth populations like over that amount of time, you know, 5 decades?
Right. It's not like they like check in every year or something.
Exactly. So what they did was they used what's called a light trap.
Okay.
And basically it's this special lamp and they use it to attract the moths at night. And they, you know, they identify them, they count. We're talking over 34,000 moths, over 410 species.
Wow. Those researchers were busy.
Yeah. Yeah, they were dedicated, that's for sure. And you know, that increase in moths that we were talking about, well, it wasn't just the total number. It was also, like, how many different kinds of moths there were. Like, the variety, that went up, too.
So, oh, wow. So it's not just, like, one type of moth that's, like, taking over or something?
Right. Exactly.
It's like, a whole bunch of different moths are doing well.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's really interesting because it means that, like, whatever's happening there, it's good for a lot of different moths.
That is interesting. But I'm guessing it's not, like, the exact same types of moths that were there 50 years ago, right?
You're right. So even though the overall numbers went up, and the diversity, too, there were still some changes, like some species that they saw in the 70s, they weren't there anymore in 2019.
Oh, wow. So some moths are winning, some are losing.
Yeah. It's like a big game of musical chairs, you know?
Yeah. And what makes certain moths more, I don't know, more likely to survive all these changes, you know, compared to others?
That's a great question. And, you know, the researchers, they looked into that. They wanted to know, like, what are the traits, you know, of the moth that are doing well. And they found some really interesting stuff. One thing they found was that the moths that could, like, blend in better, you know, camouflage.
Oh, so, like, if a predator can't see them, they're less likely to, you know.
Exactly.
Become dinner.
Yeah. So that gives them an advantage if, like, their habitat is changing and they need to, you know, adapt.
It's like they're taking fashion tips from chameleons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it wasn't just how they, you know, if they could blend in or not, right?
Yeah.
There was another thing.
You're right. They also found that moths that had a larger range size, so that means they're found over a wider area geographically, those moths tended to do better too.
So we've got like the fashion forward moths, you know, with the camouflage, and then the ones who are like world travelers going all over the place.
Right.
It seems like if you're a moth, it pays to be, I don't know, adaptable. Yeah, definitely. Being adaptable. That's key. And in ecology, we talk about generalist species, and that's what we're talking about here. Moths that can handle different temperatures, different food sources, all that.
So they're not like picky eaters. They're not stuck in one little spot. They can make do.
Exactly. And that, it helps them out when things start to change around them.
Yeah.
But there's this other side to this whole thing. It's a little bit, it's got a big name. It's called functional homogenization.
Okay, now you're just using big words to scare us all. Break it down for us. What is that?
All right. Imagine, you've got a garden, right? But there's only, three different kinds of flowers in it.
Okay.
It might look pretty, but if a disease comes along, wipes out one of those flowers, boom, your whole garden's in trouble. But if you've got tons of different flowers, it's not such a big deal.
Makes sense, yeah.
So it's the same with the moths. It's not just about how many there are. It's about, all the different things they do in the ecosystem,
So we're losing that variety of skills, even if we're seeing more moths overall.
Exactly. That's functional homogenization. It's like, yeah, you might have a lot of eggs, but they're all in one basket,
Not good if someone drops the basket.
Exactly. And this was just one study in Sweden. And you might be thinking, okay, what does this have to do with me? I don't live in a Swedish forest.
Right. Exactly.
But the big takeaway here is that things are complicated. We can't just say, insects are declining, end of story. Because look, here's a place where, at least for moths, they're doing pretty well.
So your mileage may vary, read all the fine print.
Yeah. And it just shows we need to do more of this kind of research in different places over a long time to really get a handle on this. But it also, reminds us that even those little creatures, the ones we don't always think about, they're all connected to everything else.
For sure. Even a tiny moth can make a difference.
Yeah.
Well, that was eye-opening. I don't know about you all, but I'm going to go look at my backyard a little differently now. Who knows what kind of amazing stuff is happening out there. Thanks for joining us for another deep dive. And hey, make sure you subscribe so you don't miss the next one.